Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Love Women, the show where we interview passionate, accomplished women of color about their work and their soul. I am your host, Monica Vigil. The age-old saying goes, a picture is worth a thousand words. And now, with the technological advances we have made, this thousand-word opportunity is available to anyone with access to a smartphone. However, just owning a camera and snapping a photo isn't enough for those dedicated to the life of pointing and shooting. There are many photographers whose entire livelihoods are of, for, and about the medium. For them, photography is a skill to be grown, an art to be displayed, a craft to be perfected, and for some, a profession to be accessed. According to a 2012 report from the American Bureau of Labor Statistics, there is a discrepancy in the pay between men and women photographers. The National Endowment for the Arts estimates that the median income for women photographers in the United States is about half of men's. Half the pay, same job. In 2015, a State of News photography study showed that women photographers were less likely to be employed by large media companies when compared to men. Are we shocked? No. Are we shook? Yes. But these stats have not met our guest today, Courtney Coles, an award-winning fine arts photographer and a woman of color whose work has been displayed at venues such as the Getty Museum. Courtney is an MFA candidate at the California Institute of the Arts. Known for her concert photography, she is pushing her way in the camera world in spite of the statistics. Hi, Courtney. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. That was kind of loud. Next time I will make the music quieter in that. You saw me. I just did it. No, not you, Victor. It was like the music part was... It's fine. Anyways, so Courtney, thank you for being here.
Of course, of course.
We're going to start this show as I have started the last show, and we'll continue to do so. We're going to pull cards from this Rebel deck. And it is...
I'm so nervous.
Yeah. The box says, Tarot with Attitude.
That's me. Tarot with Attitude.
There you go. And it says... ask the card what you need to know right now. These messages will tell it like it is. No interpretation needed.
Wow.
So you can go first. You just got to shuffle this side up, close your eyes, pick the one that speaks to you.
So shovel ass and like just
whatever it means to you.
Okay.
There's no right or wrong way to do it.
Yeah, because I never learned how to shuffle. I like watched my dad do it growing up and just could never get the hang of it.
Yeah, we actually bought at home like a shuffling machine. Like you put your cards in and it'll just shuffle it for you. Waste of money.
Wild.
We've never opened. We've never used it.
So do I just pick a card? Pick a pink one. Favorite color is pink.
Okay. What does it say? No bad words.
You are giving too many bleeps. Wow.
And they turn it around and tell you something.
Give zero.
Does that feel right?
Wow. Thank you, card, for reading me like that. I came in for a good time, and now I'm
Yeah, and also, how dare you?
Oh, rude. I'm going to call your manager.
Okay, and then I'll do one really quickly. This feels good. Oh, it's just a little lightning emoji. Figure stuff out on your own.
Rude. The cards are not being nice
to
Yeah,
today. It was like...
Take a nap, tarot deck.
So we'll do it again at the end of the episode when we're in a different headspace and see what happens.
Okay.
So Courtney, you are a photographer and a Pierce alumni.
I am. Actually, I didn't graduate from Pierce. I left Pierce high and dry.
Oh my goodness, Pierce.
I'm so sorry, Pierce, but thanks for still loving me. I came here 8 years ago, left 8 years ago, and went to Portland to do my undergrad and moved back 3 years after that and been home for about 5 years.
Can you tell us a little bit about your photography career so far?
So far, as in what I've been up to or what I've done since Pierce or...
Any and both.
So what I've been up to, I'm currently a first year MFA student at CalArts. And the last time I was here, it was for Skylar's show. And she was asking me about like the whole process. And I had yet to hear back from the school. So I was like, hopefully I get in.
And, yeah, I heard it this morning.
And then
you're
I
like,
got
I have
in.
My interview.
I have my interview. That's all I know. But I got
congratulations.
Thank you. It is still so surreal. I'll be finishing my first year Monday is my last class. And it went by so quickly, but also dragged on at the same time. But in my professional practice, like my actual art practice, I'm working with my massive archive of photo booth photos, like photo strips, that I started back in January 2014. And it was this whole thing of just kind of like reclaiming myself and being excited that, like, hey, I'm done with college. I mean, just like be rebellious and like flash the photo booth and be a typical whatever age I was, 24-year-old, I guess. And then it became this monthly thing that I sought out to do.
Every month you flash the photo booth?
Yeah, every month. It became this thing where my friends all know that, like, oh, photo booth, oh, Courtney's whipping them out. But it slowly became less of a showmanship thing and more of a, I'm documenting, like, my mental state in this state of wherever I'm at. And very recently, I thought of putting said strips in a book. But then it felt too not complete, so I kind of sat on that idea of, like, oh, I'll just let this sit on my hard drive. And I spent a lot of time on the internet because it's very fun and also stressful. And I was seeing just how Black women are kind of, like, used as these reactionary gifs or memes or whatever for things in the world. And I was like, that's not how we are. Like, I don't relate to that. And so I kept all that to myself and would journal it out and everything. And then I came to this place of going, wait, you have all these photo strips that you can, like, quote unquote, make into your own meme. We also have this very real text of how you're really feeling in response to the media and how people are portraying people who look like you. Why not pair those together? And so I've been working on that project for the last, since January or so. So that's my professional, I guess, practice. I'm also photographing my family and my friends and my community and just, like, our time in the Valley and all the history and all that tied to that. So that's the non-music part of Courtney.
And then you do, like, concert photography?
Not so much these days.
Wow.
Yeah. Fun fact, which will probably get me not hired anymore, I find very little joy in concert photography these days. I would rather go as, like, a fan and watch the show and really enjoy the experience. When I was younger, I was all about, like, going to the show, bring my camera, here we go. Lately, and like the last couple of years, I've kind of shied away from that and started focusing more on photographing musicians in the recording studio or just behind the scenes, backstage kind of stuff, because to me, that's the meat of music, is humanizing these people who have this great gift to tell their story and help people through their own traumas and life and stuff. So less concerts, more real life human stuff.
So if you go to a concert, and so can you explain to me this feeling that you don't like it anymore? Is it just sort of like you feel like it's a performance, it's not the real part of the artist? Or
oh no, it's totally like everything from sitting in a recording booth and like writing out lyrics to actually getting on stage and performing set lyrics, that's all the musician. When it comes to photographing it, I get so wrapped up in getting the shot that I forget to, like, have fun. And it used to be a fun event when I was younger and was able to kind of, like, process the motion. But then it became a very stressful thing where you have to turn in a certain amount of photos and get the right photo or what have you. And it's a stressful event, and I'm unable to really fully enjoy myself because I'm trying to find new angles and not get in the way of the other photographers in the pit. And be aware of my surroundings, and you only have three songs, and that's a lot of limitations. And so I would rather just go as a fan and capture the one or two photos on my iPhone and put it away and enjoy the experience.
So now you're more focused on, like you said, capturing your community, your friends, your family, yourself.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so this show we discussed about, you know, what it's like to be a woman of color, and then a woman of color of your field, and just like a woman in general. And I was listening to a past interview you did with Alan. I don't know how many years ago that was.
I think that was when I moved back. So I think 2015, maybe? Wow, baby Courtney.
And I was listening to it, and you sort of touched on this topic of, because you had your work displayed in the Getty, mm-hmm. and you were mentioning how before, you would have hated that because you were anti-museum, anti-institution. Yeah. Specifically, you said because you felt they abused artists of colors and sort of misappropriated or
wow, I went off.
And you just sort of talked about it and then moved on. I'm like, I would like to know more about that and sort of like what you feel
then and now.
Yeah, then and now.
I think back then I was in my very rebellious, I mean, I'm still kind of rebellious, but I was in my very, no one gets to, like, own rights to this. It's all me. Don't need your help. Museum, whatever. And then I think I found the right way to approach that because as like tricky as it is to like navigate through these institutions and being hyper aware of the fact that you are not white and museums and galleries and people like that or people who have that kind of, you know, control are looking for ways to kind of I think what's the word I'm looking for, be more inclusive. I never wanted to be another number or just like a face to be like, we have one person. So I think younger Courtney was like, don't do this. I'm against it. I want to be your token. That's not the right way to do things. And then nowadays, I would love to be in a museum. I do have high hopes of being in these top collections and have my own shows and everything because I see this opportunity to really reach the people like me who went through these spaces and was just baffled that there weren't not that many people who looked like me on the walls being depicted in a way that was relatable and also, you know, true to my own surroundings. We all have different ways of moving through the space and through the world, but there's never really any black woman that I remember, you know, seeing in like these big spaces who just wasn't some like nude model who like some dude painted or something. And so nowadays I'm not against the man. I want to work alongside the man to kind of just like, hey guys, what you're doing is great, but also pay attention to like the way you kind of like pick your people. And if you do pick people, let them speak. Don't speak over them. Like, give them the space to bring their friends with them to like bring up their entire community, not just cherry pick one person and go like, we got one, like that's the one we choose, and it just be this massive weird exploitative field.
What does it mean to you to be a woman of color?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we get real on this show.
It means everything to me. It means being the voice of reason, because sometimes I am, even though I don't take my own advice. It means giving zero cares about how people think you're coming off, because at the end of the day, you have to stay true to yourself. And if someone misconstrues your word or twists his thing, that's their own prerogative, not yours. Being a woman of color means knowing how everybody in the room feels and taking that into account to how you feel and how you can, like, either uplift or, you know, suppress the situation or whatever. There's a lot. That's a very powerful question.
And so how does that, being a woman of color and feeling all those ways, how did that affect your photography, your art?
It helps me read people easier or a little more clearly. I love people. I observe a lot. I watch more than I speak. I'm learning how to listen more than just hearing, because there's a big difference between the two. Me being aware of my surroundings and hyper aware of my surroundings, it helps me kind of like read the body language of the people I'm like interacting with. And when it comes to photographing strangers, because I used to just be friends and I don't want to photograph people I don't know, it became this thing where I have learned to pick up on social cues of how someone's sitting or how they're shifting or how they're always on their phone doing X, Y, Z, or they mention a name. So I try keeping that in check when I want to like get them to loosen up a little bit. So I usually start things off by like, oh my God, I'm sweating so much. And that kind of like helps the room come back down. They realize, oh, you're a big old goober. Like, you're not that scary. Okay. I'm a very gentle spirit. At least I think I am. I think everyone says that. But I'm pretty gentle, as gentle gets, because I don't want anyone to think that I come in the room with such powerful authority, even though I might be the most powerful person there because I control the image, quote unquote. I don't want anyone to feel as though I'm there to like take something from them. I'm there to share the experience and document things and, of course, keep things to myself if they're not meant to be shown to the world. And yeah.
So you have a ongoing project called NSFW, not safe for work, self reflections. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And they are photos of your body and sort of just this like exposed woman form. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me more about that? This decision to, I'm going to take photos of my own body.
Yeah.
And so, my own face.
My own face, my own self. That kind of came to be, I think, accidentally, ignoring the whole MySpace era when I took a lot of pictures in my parents' bathroom and stuff. this became my own way of documenting myself in my mental state and coming to terms with the fact that I do have anxiety, I do have depression, and I don't trust myself being photographed by other people and, you know, capturing that, like, moment and, like, them getting it, quote-unquote, just right. So I took it upon myself to really just, like, hone in on that. And the nudity aspect of it all comes from growing up in a Christian home. My parents are and were and are very liberal in their Christianity. And so it was always this weird divide of, like, we couldn't go trick-or-treating because it's, you know, not good. But we were allowed to watch Sabrina the Teenage Witch. But I couldn't watch Harry Potter. So it's that weird little, like, my parents pick and chose what we were able to do and view and experience. And I'm thankful for that because, you know, I grew up to be the person I am because of their guidance. But within the church, at least the Baptist church, there is a lot of emphasis on a woman should, like, you know, keep her body hidden for her future husband. And being a kid hearing that, that's so weird to be, like, 8 years old hearing, like, you must keep your purity, chaste. It's so weird. And so there is always this divide and this, like, kind of tug and pull between how I saw myself as, like, you know, a human who, like, had all these feelings and anxieties and everything like that, and then how the church saw me. And I also, like, loved MTV, so I was, like, pulled between, like, MTV and the church, and, like, MTV says show it all and the church says keep it covered. So my photograph of myself nude was my way of kind of, like, regaining my own ownership of my body, because I felt like I never had that ownership, because this entity was just saying, no, this is for your husband, this is not yours. So it's like, no, it's a big middle finger to all of that, saying it's mine. If I want to show it off, so be it. It's a body. It's not for anyone but myself. And if I want to share it, cool. If not, cool. But yeah, so that entire series is just like a visual diary of sorts.
What sort of reactions did you get, or do you get, to that?
I forget it's there. When I pass my card out to people, I forget I'm naked on my website. And I'll, like, give away to, you know, a friend at church, forgetting that, like, oh, my boobs are there. But my parents don't get it. Of course, they don't get it because they're my parents. But I can't let them dictate how I make my work. They did a great job raising me because I'm still alive. Barely. No, I'm still alive. And everything like that. But I think for the most part, they understand that I'm doing this because it's important. As women, not just women of color, but as women, we're told we can't do fill in the blank. And that's so limiting. And that's so heartbreaking that a lot of us have never removed ourselves from that weird rat race of, like, I must be the most pure person in the room and I must do this, I must do that. It's a weird, no, you follow your own rules. Like, you do what makes you happy and what keeps you safe and everything like that. I've received, for the most part, I think positive reviews or questions or just, like, comments. There is one person on Instagram who told me that she has never seen someone with her body type being represented in such a clear way. Mm-hmm. I guess she was like, I'm very fit and, like, I'm muscular, but not really. But then I've never seen someone who looks like me being portrayed in such a positive way. So thank you so much for, like, doing that. And I cried because I'm just like, whoa, my body type is so average. It's just like, whatever. But this woman saw herself in me, and that made me go, well, okay. For every hater, there's one person. It's like, thank you so much for, like, giving me the confidence to, like, embrace my own sexuality. Yeah.
Courtney, what do you love most about being a woman?
What do I love most about being a woman? I love that I have the opportunity to help bring up the next generation of women, non-binary people, and giving them the space and, like, the freedom and inspiration to embrace themselves. I'm sure dudes do it too, but, like, it's dudes are dudes. But I love being a woman because it's like an ongoing battle, an ongoing, like, journey of loving and reloving and reaffirming myself and changing the way people view me and those who look like me. And it's a constant, it's a constant journey of self-discovery and also trying my best to make sure I'm not being awful to my fellow women and non-binary folks. I just love that I'm compassionate and I love how soft I am, but also how bold I am in my softness.
I like that.
Yeah. Soft. I'm very soft and bold. It's like in my Instagram bio, like soft and bold with rose colored glasses, because I really am a soft person, but I'm very bold. I'll let you know how it is in a very soft way.
And you really do have rose colored glasses. Your glasses are part of rose.
They're rose colored.
Yeah. So in your life, in your career, in your school, have you ever felt that, you know, being a woman of color, you had to navigate this world differently because people looked at you differently and usually not in a more positive light?
Yes. School, it's like a hit or miss. It's like, I think the overall answer is yes. I didn't know that I was navigating the world differently until I went away to Portland. Because I grew up in Los Angeles. I grew up in the Valley, and it's very diverse, my group of friends. And I've always known about racism. I've always known about just the injustices in the world because my mother is from the South. And so I would hear about the stories of how she and her sisters and their cousins, how they navigate the space and everything. And I knew about the civil rights movement when I was 6. So it was just from very early on, I knew about these awful things against people like me. But I never really, and I've experienced it too, but I didn't experience the actual like elf in the room of like everyone staring at you because you're different until moving to Portland. And that was a quick wake up call. Like, I quickly was like, okay, this is what this feels like. How do I navigate this space without losing my sense of self and worth? Because those experiences will definitely kind of dim your light, and it gets hard and dark. And I've just had to remind myself that my mother and father worked very hard to get me here. My ancestors worked very hard to get us here. Like, I can't let one misstep keep me from doing what I'm meant to do. And so I do navigate the world differently. I'm very vigilant and very hyper aware, but I do try to stay soft and understanding, which is probably a blessing and a curse because I'm too understanding. But I do navigate the world in a very like, I gotta go, can't stop. But I do take a rest because you have to rest.
Wow, that must have been very like isolating, I imagine, and lonely and sort of.
It was, in a weird way. I had friends up there who, you know, were friends of color, but it was just a weird thing of being far from your support system and being able to physically hold those you love. I love my friends up there, but it's just a different feeling to have your mom like hug you, like, it's okay, you'll get through it. But it made me stronger. I'm so thankful for my time in Portland. When I move back up there, pay me a lot of money, I forget I'm sad. But I loved my time up there. I'm happy I did in my early 20s because it really shaped how I've navigated the rest of my 20s. And now that I'm almost done, I'm able to enter the new decade with a fresh pair of eyes, and I'm able to really kind of enter spaces and not be too, oh no, I'm the only black girl here. I do have those feelings, but I don't let that stop me like I did when I was younger.
And you've mentioned your mom a couple times. Is she someone who's a source of support and inspiration for you?
She definitely is. My mother is my absolute everything. She's my foundation. She and my dad both are the most incredible, funny, sassy people I've ever met. And I'm equal parts mom and dad. But when it comes to just support and I need help, I cry to mom. And she's just there with her scriptures and her life lessons and me just fighting it all off, but realizing she's a source of great wisdom.
And so earlier in the show, I started with these statistics about, you know, women being paid less and being hired less and, you know, women of color just having less opportunities. And when you hear those sort of things or just live through those sort of things, what are your thoughts? Like, is there a solution?
I've always thought of that, like the solution part, and is there a way to fix it? And I think the way to fix it is quite literally bringing up your friends, because the fast, easy, fun way is saying, hey dudes, hire your girlfriends. But we all know that that's not how it's going to work out. And so what I believe in is for every one non-cis dude out there, there's probably 5 or so, you know, trans women, women of color, non-binary folks who have their 5 friends, and they do their best to like recommend jobs to those friends because they know that one white dude isn't going to do it. So they might as well keep that community living. And I think the solution is just like each of us trying our best to kind of like pay attention to our friends' works and keep them on like speed dial. So when someone needs something done, we can just go, I can't do it, but so-and-so over here can do it. And I try not to let that discourage me from pursuing my path, because there's a reason why I'm still in the game. It's very hard. It's competitive, but I know nothing more than just photography and music. That's all I know. So I feel like that's my guiding post, is just, you're good at this thing. It may be hard, but you'll get to your end goal one day.
And so, Courtney, what are you proudest of? What is your proudest accomplishment?
Thus far. Two things. Getting into grad school is my proudest accomplishment, because it was the only school I applied to. And to this day, I'm done Monday for the first year, but to this day, I'm so surprised I got into it and humbled too. And my second one is, my friends and I have this traveling photo show called To the Front, and it started out just the four of us, and it grew to this bigger thing, inspiring other people to like want to do what we're doing. And we were just four people who really just want to put our photographs on the wall, like get off the internet, put it on the wall. And we went from LA to New York to Toronto to Boston. We have Nashville in a month, and it's just this crazy thing of, yeah, it's just, it got bigger than we thought it would. And they're younger, like the younger generation's like coming up to us saying, we want to do this, and like, how do we do XYZ? And it's just so humbling and emotional that they're, you know, the youth are like, how do we do what you're doing? Because that's so cool. And it's like, oh my God, that's so wild. That's all I've ever wanted, was to inspire the next generation.
That's so cool. I love that. Okay. So let's just transition over to our lightning round, finish sentence part of the show.
Let's hope I don't curse.
Let's hope not. Okay. Okay, finish the sentence. I cannot stand
rude people.
I'm excited about
seeing Arctic Monkeys for the first time on Saturday. A life without art is a life worth living.
A
career in photography has taught me that literally everything you've ever wanted will come true, and then some.
I love
myself.
What
I miss most about being a kid is the endless hours I had to like read books.
I'm afraid of
the ocean, even though I love the ocean.
I am grateful for
the life my parents made out for me.
My advice to young girls is
just keep at it.
Nice. All right. The show is winding down. Here is the Rebel deck.
I'm afraid this deck is going to yell at me again. I'm not ready for it.
I think we're in a more zen space, but let's see.
Let's see.
Maybe not.
I'm forever not zen. Anxiety at high. I'm going to go with this teal color. Oh, wow. Some good stuff is about to happen. Don't let your issues mess it up. Wow. Thank you. That was so gentle and soft.
Yeah, that was pretty nice. Oh, this one feels good. It says, you do you. Stop trying to change people. That stuff never works.
Wow.
All right, I'll keep doing me, deck.
Keep on doing me.
Courtney, thank you so much for coming and taking time out of your crazy busy life to be on this show. Thank you so much.
Anything for peers. Anything.
So, you've been listening to Love Women, where we interview passionate, accomplished women of color about their work and their souls. Join us next week, where I'll be interviewing a woman who immigrated from Nicaragua when she was young, had to learn the language, raise her kids, and assimilate into a culture that didn't always welcome her. She symbolizes the story of a lot of mothers everywhere, and she just so happens to be my mother. See you then. I'm Monica Vigil, and this is KPCRadio.com.